Myanmar's Aung San Suu Kyi has been charged days after her government was ousted by a military coup. She's accused of breaching import-export laws and has been formally remanded in custody, even though she's already in detention. Myanmar's ousted president has also been charged. Leong Wai-kit will join us live in a moment, but first, a look at how opposition to the coup appears to be growing.
Defiance is growing in Myanmar days after the military ousted the elected government of Aung San Suu Kyi. Dozens of medical staff at hospitals have stopped work to protest. Many seen wearing red ribbons and raising a three-finger salute, the same protest gesture used by pro-democracy activists in Thailand. Calls for a civil disobedience campaign have also gained ground on social media, even though the new military government has warned people not to post anything that could encourage instability. At the same time, international pressure continues to mount on Myanmar. The G7 has condemned the coup and said the results of last year's election must be respected. The U.S. says it's tried but was unable to contact Myanmar's military following the coup.
Now that we have determined that a coup has taken place on February 1st, that civilian-led government has been deposed by the military, our first concern as we do that review will be to ensure that of the $135 million we contribute annually to the people of Burma, that we don't do anything that would affect the long-suffering people of Burma, including the Rohingya.
The United Nations held an emergency meeting yesterday but took no action. China has not specifically condemned the military takeover, but it has rejected accusations that it tacitly supported the coup.
Leong Wai-kit is tracking events in Myanmar and he joins us live now. Wai-kit, what do we know about the charges against Aung San Suu Kyi and the ex-president?
Well, Don, as you said earlier, Ms. NLD leader Aung San Suu Kyi has been charged under the import-export law, and she's now being remanded until February 15. My contacts tell me that on February 1st, the Myanmar army went to Ms. Suu Kyi's house. It's unclear whether she was there at the point in time, but February 1st is the day that Parliament was supposed to convene to mark the start of the new government. Now, during the raid, the Myanmar army found a handful of walkie-talkies that are used by her security teams. Those walkie-talkies were handed over to the police. Now, the police later found that those walkie-talkies were illegally imported and used without permission. Now, for some context, if you recall, in 2017, there were two foreign journalists who attempted to film the Myanmar parliament in Naypyidaw using a drone. They were jailed briefly, and among the charges they faced was this very same law, the import-export law. The police had decided that the drone used back then was also imported illegally. As for ex-president Win Myint, he's been accused of breaching COVID-19 safety measures. Basically, he's been accused of traveling around the country with more than 200 overcasts during campaigning period. And that charge comes under the bigger umbrella of the National Disaster Management Law. Ex-President Win Myint is also detained until February 15.
At the same time, Wai-kit, there has been pushback. There's opposition to the coup. It appears to be growing.
Well, that's right. There's this civil disobedience campaign, which we've seen earlier, and you must have seen footage of doctors wearing red ribbons. Now, that means that doctors are going to work, but they are showing in pure defiance that they are also part of the civil disobedience movement. There are also other doctors from the public hospitals that have quit or gone on strike. This, of course, would place This, of course, would put a toll on the COVID-19 management in the country. I asked doctors from both the public and private sectors what would happen if, let's say, there's a third wave of COVID-19, and they say they cannot manage because not only are the healthcare workers going on strike, volunteers who are the backbone of managing COVID-19 in the country have also quit. Some 2,000 of them. These are people who man your telephone lines or do your contact tracing or take care of quarantine centres. So in a way, you can see how this civil disobedience movement is causing impact. And of course, experts say that running a civil disobedience campaign at this very sensitive period during a state of emergency can be very tricky.